welcome to Table Talk, a place for honest conversations and getting to meet friends. I am so excited for you to get to meet one of my very sweet friends today, Emily Ryan, hanging out.
Hello.
It's going to be so fun. Y'all, so right now we're kind of doing this series with authors in the church, because here's the surprising thing. There are quite a few authors running around the church and people don't know.
And it's pretty cool.
It's so cool. Yeah. And they have these books out. And so I kind of went on a hunt to see who all's out there with books that we don't know about. Now, I know you're an author because yes. You've written multiple books.
Yes.
And she has a new one coming out that we're going to talk about in just a second. But even before we jump into that, would you call yourself an author? Because, like, some people that write books are like, I'm not an author. Mm-hmm.
I actually would.
I was going to say, I would call you that.
Yeah. But I can understand the hesitation
that
a lot of people feel. Because it's one thing to be like, oh, I like to type and write stories
right.
or do whatever. But then it's another thing to call yourself something that sounds official.
Yes.
But many years, and I think I'd actually written my first book before. I was like, oh, that was a fluke. I'm not really
right.
an author. You know, no, that's not going to happen. But it was when I really started to realize, okay, God has me here for a while. Mm. And this is, I've always known since I was like 8.
Yeah.
Like once I started reading books, I thought I want to write the books. You know,
see?
It was very
early. And not everybody
for me.
Thinks that because
right.
I don't think that. So
right.
yeah.
And
that's
so
cool.
Now it's more of a thing where like I went through a long season where I felt this urgency, like I had such tunnel vision that it had to happen and that it almost, you know, it can become an idol in and of itself.
Sure.
Even whenever you're doing what God has called you to do.
Absolutely.
It can become an idol. And I think that for me, it was for a while. And it wasn't until I was like, okay, God, this is the end. I'm putting it aside. Like I understand that that was a season and the season is over. And the strangest thing, everything just started opening up at that time. It was
really?
Weird. Yeah. Yeah.
That's wild.
I know. It's neat to look back and see just the ways that he was moving and working and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And so now, like, I feel no urgency. I mean, I feel urgency to get God's message out, but I don't feel urgency to get published or to do this or to do that, because I know that whatever he wants to happen with whatever I write is going to happen.
That's so cool.
And so as he opens the doors, I walk through them and I don't try to push them down anymore.
Right.
But it's been really good. It's
I
been
love
fun.
It. So what was the first book you wrote?
So the first book is about to turn into an adult. Like I had my baby who just became an adult at 18.
Yes.
And the book was like a month apart from him. So my book is becoming an adult. It was called Who Has Your Heart? The Single Woman's Pursuit of Godliness.
Okay.
And so it was written for single women. Mm-hmm. It was based on Judges chapter 11, which is still one of my favorite chapters in the entire Bible. And it was all about just not there at the time. There were a ton of books about like how to be single as a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
And this one, I was like, no, we don't need another one. We need to know how to be godly just from a single person in scripture, you know?
Right.
And so that's kind of the twist that one took.
Yeah.
And that one went on for a long time. And I still will hear from readers like,
really?
Yes,
that's so
after
cool.
all this time. And some of them I met back then and they still keep in touch with me. Like every now and then, like I've seen them get married. I've seen them, you know, have babies and all that
that's
kind of stuff.
Fun.
And then every now and then a new one will come up.
Yeah.
Like even someone just in the church the other day was like, I read that book of yours. You know, I mean, it's just
cool.
really, really cool. Because
is it still out there? Can people get it?
Yeah, it's still on Amazon.
Okay.
Like it's not in print anymore, but you know, there's still tons of copies and there's tons of copies in my office. If anybody ever needs one, you just let me know.
Let Emily know.
Yeah. Jason would be really happy if I got some books out of our house rather than brought them in. So
that's so good because I mean, back then and even now, that's a huge topic.
Yes.
And it's an important topic.
And I've been married for 20 years and I still feel passionate about that season in a person's life, even if
Absolutely.
It's not a season, even if it's what they're meant to be
that's
a
right.
long time.
That's right.
I could talk about that still for a long time.
Yeah,
but
that's really cool. Mm-hmm. Okay. What's it called again?
Who Has Your Heart? The Single Woman's Pursuit of Godliness.
Okay. So that was the first one.
Mm-hmm.
And then what
was
next?
So then I took a very, very long break and just did some self-publishing, which that's whenever I was working with Laurie Cole at Priority Ministries and Shanda Stiles and a lot of those people. And we would kind of do our own things and wrote some devotionals, did like the first version of this book. I wrote some things that just are still on a shelf, you know, like Bible studies, some stuff like that just kind of never went anywhere. But it wasn't until, I don't know, about, I can't even remember how long, but I started... we also wrote a devotion for Sagemont to like at the foot of the cross or something. Okay. We went through that. So it was a lot of just self
stuff around here.
Yeah. And then,
so your first book was with a publisher.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So you had gone through that process. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. And what's so funny is that whenever I finally got an agent and gave her some ideas and all that kind of stuff, she pitched a book idea to the publisher of that first book.
Uh-huh.
And so they were like, no, thank you. Like, it just wasn't a good fit for them at the time, which is how that business works.
Yep.
But the editor, the acquisitions editor, whenever she realized that they had published something of mine, you know, 15, whatever years ago, she went on my website and she was like, oh, I hadn't heard of this person because she was new to the business. And so that's where she saw the original self-published version of this book. And she asked my agent, she said, what's the status of that one? Like, we don't want what she was pitching, but is this one available? Yeah.
That's cool.
It is way cool because my publisher was like, would you be interested in like revamping that? Yeah. I was like, and she goes, by the way, the answer is yes. And I was like,
and the answer is yes.
Even if I, yeah, totally. Because they, you know, when somebody comes to you and was like, hey, this is a message that needs to be shared, then you have to wonder, okay, is this from God?
Mm-hmm.
Probably. Because it was not on my radar to revisit the ideas, the message, anything like that. But it was obviously on God's radar. And can I tell you another story?
Please.
That y'all will appreciate being at Sagemont. Is this all happened probably a month or two after Pam Henderson passed away.
Mm.
And Pam was like one of my right-hand people whenever I first did all this and everything. And we just kind of joked. We're like, you know what? She got to heaven and she was like already calling some shots.
Somebody needs this book. That's awesome.
She's putting bugs in all the ears already. It was just pretty cool. The timing
of
it all.
That's awesome. Mm-hmm. That's awesome. I love her so much. Yeah. Gosh, I miss her being here.
Miss her, for
sure. Miss her a lot. Well, and the other thing about this is I remember when the first one came out and you're passionate about this topic. Mm-hmm.
For sure.
It would have been very different if they were like, hey, can you write this book? You're like, I really,
I've said all I need to say.
I don't really have the heart for that. You love this.
Yes.
You love
100%.
This. 100%. So we'll quit teasing y'all. It's guilt-free quiet times. And this time it's 7 myths about your devotional time with God. And some of you might be like, I have that book on my shelf. I do. It's not this one. This is the new
And it has been edited and revised and more stuff is in it. Mm-hmm.
Yes. And so it's different.
Yeah.
But the idea, and I remember when the first one came out and like I said, how passionate you were about it.
Yeah.
And so I can see them going, hey, you want to do this one again? You're like, oh yeah, let's talk about that again.
Yes.
So explain why? Okay. First, let's do this.
Okay.
For people that might not know, what's a quiet time?
Okay.
Why would having a quiet time make me feel guilty?
Right. Okay. That's a great question. Okay. So when you hear the term quiet time, most people associate that with a specific time of the day that you kind of put aside to spend time in the Word, time in prayer with your Bible, with God.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Is that a bad thing? Absolutely not. And we'll get to that.
Right.
Like, that's an amazing thing. It's a spiritual discipline to spend time with the Lord and to really grow in your faith on those intimate one-on-one moments. So here's the problem though. The problem is that in some aspects, I think we have elevated the idea of a quiet time and we've put that, that stamp of just kind of completing a task above what the Bible is really talking about, which is intimacy with God.
Right.
And so that is where this came from because, I was one of those people. I grew up in church and every time anybody would ever talk about how to spend time with God or how to have a quiet time, I was like leaning forward and I was like, okay, what is it? What's the formula? Right. How do I do this? And I wanted to do it well. Like my heart was in the right place.
Yes.
But then what would happen is that I would fail or I would forget or I would be interrupted.
Then it'd be the next Sunday and you're like, oh.
Yes. Ah, did it again.
And I think for most people, it's not that our hearts don't want to.
Right.
It's not that we don't have a deep desire for it. And if you ask most people, do you want to spend quality time with God? People say, yes, of course I do.
Yeah.
But then it's the next Sunday.
Yes.
And you're like, how did I go 6 days and not do it?
Right. Yeah. Or, and as far as you asked, where will guilt come from? Honestly, some guilt comes from us, from other Christians.
For sure.
And I do not think that people mean to heap guilt onto mm-hmm. someone. They're really just passionate, kind of like I am about things.
Right.
But I remember whenever the first round of all this, when we were kind of exploring the idea, I sent out a survey to all of our email people, just asking them questions about their quiet mm-hmm. time. And there was one open, open response, and any people could write down whatever. Right. And so I remember one woman, I don't know who, cause it was anonymous.
Yeah.
So, and she wrote down something about how, you know what? I would never leave the house without wearing my deodorant, and I would never leave the house without having my time with the Lord. Because if I did, I would stink. And if you get out of the house without wearing your deodorant, you're gonna stink, and all that kind of stuff. And so I called her the deodorant lady in my head. And I love her, bless you. But I thought, she doesn't know how many times I've accidentally left the house without deodorant on. You know, it's like it happens.
Yeah.
And so the flip side, I was telling a friend that I think I was actually sitting in church one day, and you know how you have those moments where like, oh shoot, I forgot my deodorant, you know, and you just have, it happens to all of us. And I told her, and she goes, oh, I do that all the time. You know what I do now? I keep a deodorant in my purse. I keep one at my office, at my desk. Mm-hmm. I keep one out by the back door because I know it's going to happen.
Right.
So I built, you know,
prepare
I plan for it.
Yes.
I was like, that's what we need to do. You know, like I am willing to say that I fail.
Yeah.
And so rather than settle there, I think it's time to start building in failure to our systems mm-hmm. because God doesn't judge and condemn and pound us whenever we misstep.
That's right.
Instead,
he knows we're not perfect.
Exactly.
He knows that.
Yes.
He doesn't
expect
that.
Okay, let me come beside you and let me help you
mm-hmm.
and we'll get, you know, let's try again. It's a new day. It's a new moment. Let's do this over again.
Because so often I think what happens, I know with me, I've gone through seasons of this where I don't spend time with the Lord,
mm-hmm.
then I feel bad about it.
Mm-hmm.
And so then it's harder to get back into it.
Yes.
And so then you go longer because you feel bad.
Mm-hmm.
Or you're like, oh, I only spent,
yes.
I only had 2 minutes in the car to pray. And then what am I going to do tomorrow? And so then we heap guilt on ourselves.
Yes. We just kind of, every single moment, we like build a brick wall above and above.
That's just separating us from the mm-hmm. Lord. And then you stop and go, okay, well, the enemy has to have something to do because his plan is for us not to spend time with the Lord.
Exactly.
And so then you start going, okay, so how do I get out of those things?
Yeah. And so what I did is kind of freedom came for me in steps and baby steps. The first thing is I just started having honest conversations with women who were older than me and just kind of maybe not asking them point blank, but just starting conversations and then listening very closely.
Mm-hmm.
And I started to realize I am not the only one who is not perfect. Wow. Guess what?
Yes. Welcome.
Yeah, exactly. Surprise. I don't know why it took me all that time to realize that.
So many. And I don't know. And maybe people younger than us are better than this now.
Hopefully.
But hopefully we've gotten a little bit further.
Mm-hmm.
But I think there very much was this expectation of
perfection. Yes.
Across
exactly.
the board. Yeah.
And so, you know, after I started realizing that I was not the only one, it's like I kind of took two steps. One, I wanted to research in, maybe three steps. One day I just went to my computer and I put down every single like rule that I'd ever heard about what a quiet time should be. And I kind of refuted it with my sarcasm that I kind of love to stick out there sometimes. You know, I'm like, fine, okay, if it has to be in the morning, well, what if your kid wakes up? And what if, what if you have to go to the restroom? Do you or do you not go to the restroom? It's kind of like, do you pray before a salad or not a salad? Let's debate that forever because that's the real issue.
Right.
It's not the real issue, but we get fixated on those things. You know, like, oh, it has to be this amount of time.
Right.
Oh, it has to be quiet. Oh, it has to be every single day. It has to be at a specific place and all of that. And so I just let myself be a little bit sassy.
Be honorary.
About it. Yeah.
Be a little honorary.
For sure.
Yeah.
And then after that, I was like, okay, I need to know where this idea came from in history and what the Bible says.
That's right.
Both of those things. And so historically, I discovered that the term quiet time, one, is not in the Bible. Now, simmer down. It's the concept is, I know this, the concept is there, but the term quiet time is not in there. It actually, before the quiet time, did you know that there was a precursor to the quiet time? It was called the morning watch. And for a long time, the idea of getting up early and praying for men who were off in battle, mm-hmm. kind of like you're interceding mm-hmm. for those soldiers who are waking up mm-hmm. and they're going into battle. For a long time, that was the idea. Okay. That was what was circulating. Mm-hmm. And then in about the 1940s is whenever the term kind of shifted.
Okay.
And it shifted gradually a little bit because ideas didn't spread as quickly as they do now.
Absolutely.
You know, it takes a little bit of time. And so there was a pamphlet published by InterVarsity Press, and I actually found one online because I wanted to read it and research it. And so it's just called Quiet Time, A Practical Guide for Daily Devotions. And so here's the thing. I'm not ragging on this. Like, there's a lot of really great stuff in this, for sure. And I'm quite certain that everyone, the heart behind it and all of that are really spot
on. Absolutely.
But as I reread it now, what I saw was a lot of words like must. You must have, and it says you must have a dedicated time every day. You must have a space, a place mm-hmm. that you're meeting with God. You must not have a hurried heart. You must have an objective. You must do it all in these ways. And I realized that is not me a lot of the time.
Right.
And I thought, okay, so what if someone, I mean, because I like to find holes in rules. So are you telling me that if somebody doesn't have a Bible because maybe they are a brand new Christian,
absolutely.
Then they're doomed to unholiness because they just don't physically have access to a Bible, or if they're in a country where they can't have
that's
a
right.
Bible. So, oh, you're, never mind, you can't do it. No, that's not the case.
Right.
Are you telling me that someone who struggles, there are people who are still illiterate, they cannot read.
100%.
So are you telling me that even they
right.
cannot have a spiritual walk? And what about people who are young in their faith, or even just young, or they have a learning disability or a mental disability? All of these things. I'm like, if you're going to say must mm-hmm. and should and has to, then it needs to be to everyone.
Right.
And if it's not, if you would not go to a tribe in Africa and tell them, oh, you must do these things, mm-hmm. then let's not come to America. And even though we're more developed, we have access right. and things are a little bit easier, it has to be true both
absolutely.
Ways, you know.
When we were in Africa this summer, there was not on our team, but there was another team there that had been with the teachers
mm-hmm.
and talking to them about spiritual disciplines and all mm-hmm. that. And this sweet man was telling the teachers, you know, just when you get up and you make your coffee, you just sit down and you can really have a good quiet time. And I remember talking to teachers afterwards. They're like, we can't do that. We don't have coffee. They live in mud
mm-hmm.
homes
mm-hmm.
where they wake up before the sun is up to get breakfast ready
yes.
to be able to get to work by 6 because the students
yes.
are coming. You know, so it's
mm-hmm.
you look at someone like that and they go, so I don't, how
right.
do I have a quiet time?
Right.
Even the children that live there,
mm-hmm.
how do you tell them that they don't have electricity? So once it's dark,
yeah.
what are they supposed to do? You know,
right,
and so it's
right.
those kinds of things,
yeah, things
that
just kind of break down.
For people.
Yes, exactly.
And that's not just other countries. That's
right.
here.
I mean, you like think about us when we just went through hurricanes and all
yes.
that kind of stuff. You know, you have people coming into your home. You have, oh you must get alone. Okay, where?
Right.
You know, like you have to allow for life.
Yeah.
And that's whenever, once I kind of started to find all of these holes, I was like, okay, I need to read the Bible through this lens.
Yes.
And so I started looking into the Bible and reading and really kind of studying how did God communicate with people mm-hmm. and what does he really want from us?
Mm-hmm.
And what I found was that he wants a relationship. And a relationship yeah. is bendable. It is flexible.
Mm-hmm.
It varies from season to season, from day to day. It is not a formula.
Right.
It is not a checklist. I don't go home every night to my husband and say, hi, how was your day? It was fine. How was yours? Oh, dandy. Like, you don't go
right.
through this step of conversation.
Mm-hmm.
You react in the moment. You are authentic.
Right.
And that's how intimacy grows.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was so freeing. There's a passage also in the Bible that for this book, you know, I had a favorite one from my other book. For this book, my favorite passage is probably, I think it's Matthew 14, when Jesus missed a quiet time. Even Jesus missed a quiet time
mm.
after he learned that John the Baptist was beheaded, it says that he went out, his goal was to get alone and to pray with his father. Like, okay, checklist, perfect quiet time. Mm-hmm. This is what he's trying to do early in the morning. He's get this, he needs to process. And the people follow him. Mm-hmm. They follow him. Instead of being able to do his thing, he's now got a crowd of 5,000. And if it had been me and what I had been taught and, you know, that expectation that you put on yourself, then I would have felt resentment. I would have felt you're ruining what I was supposed to be doing. Mm-hmm. Get out of my way. Mm-hmm. I was supposed to be doing the holy thing and you're messing it up. Right. You know, all of that stuff. But instead, Jesus met their needs. Mm-hmm. He fed them spiritually. He fed them physically. He did all of this. Mm-hmm. And then after it was over, he went out and met with his father. So it's like his heart never lost sight of where it was headed. His heart was always longing for that relationship, always trying to get there. Mm-hmm. But it was also acknowledging the people and the circumstances that God placed in his path.
Absolutely.
And I feel like that's the balance that it took me a long time to learn.
Yeah.
But I've finally gotten there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think that is, I think there's such a balance. Mm-hmm. Because I think, of course, we know we can go to the way other end of, I sit down with my Bible, I don't know what to do.
Right.
And so to have some steps, mm-hmm. to have some ideas, some different tools and things you mm-hmm. can use to build your quiet time, especially mm-hmm. as a new believer, or even just in new seasons, mm-hmm. to have those helps.
Yeah.
But then if you're just like, these are the four things I do, and I don't leave any room for the Holy Spirit to lead me somewhere else, mm-hmm. then it, again, it's just a checklist. But there's such a fine line. We have to be so aware mm-hmm. of what we're doing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And I feel like it's one of those things where, I like to keep in mind that whenever it says like a sacrifice that costs me nothing, like I'm not going to give, that's what King David said. I'm not going to sacrifice to the Lord something that costs me nothing.
Yeah.
So the goal is never effortless. The goal
Absolutely.
Is never easy. Mm-hmm. The goal is just to turn your have to into your want to.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And that is what's different. And the thing that probably was the best blessing to me, just going through this second round of like getting to look at it again, being a little bit older, mm-hmm. having a little bit more life experience and all of that, having gone through more seasons and everything. When the publishers asked me to revisit this, they said, what would you do if we asked you to do this? And I said, well, the first thing I would do is I would get people's stories inside. Yeah. I want to hear from, because I know that's how it all started for me, was hearing about other women and how they did things differently mm-hmm. and how they were still growing in their faith.
Yeah.
And so I was able to interview probably almost 50 women.
That's cool.
And the ways in which people are meeting with God and growing in their faith are so varied.
Yeah.
And so nuanced for who they are, for how God made them. It is so cool.
That's awesome.
I got so many different ideas just from seeing just simple things, you know, people are praying on their commute. They're, you know, praying while exercising. They're doing a lot of different things.
When I had babies and was up at 3:30 in the morning nursing, guess what I did?
Yeah.
I prayed. Guess who's not up at 3:30 in the morning
exactly.
these days, you know? But there is. It's so, but it's finding those little things. And the reason I did that is because I had another mom that was a few seasons ahead of me when I was talking about, gosh, I get up at 3:30 in the morning. And I'm just sitting there. And she was like, you pray for all the other moms that are up the same time. And I was like,
what a helpful woman.
Done. Oh, yeah. She was fabulous.
That's amazing.
Pray for women that are a few steps ahead of you to be in your life. It's a huge blessing.
It is.
But it totally changed my outlook of being up with my kids in the middle of the night, in the dark or whatever. Mm-hmm. So it's those little things that, and again, when you hear people's stories and they share, you hear those ideas.
Right.
Yeah.
And so there's just a ton of practical.
That's awesome.
I love the practical.
Yes.
You know, I can't just, don't give me ideas and give me motivation.
Right.
Help it work for me in an actual sense. And that's kind of what I feel like.
Which is your favorite of the seven myths? So you're like, if people would realize this one is a myth, it would make the most impact. Is there one?
There might be. Let me just kind of, let me look over. Okay. This is the one. So it's going to sound strange because I have to give it some explanation because you read it and you're like, okay. But there's a myth that you must have your quiet time every day. Hmm. And you're like, what are you telling me, Emily, that I don't have to talk to God or don't have to pray? And I'm like, absolutely not.
Yeah.
For me, that was the biggest holdup. Mm. This idea that I had to do the thing every day.
Right.
The thing being sitting down with my Bible, physical mm-hmm. Bible, with a highlighter, with a journal,
right.
and going through that pretty step. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I could I could do it at night or in the morning, or I could do all the things, but it still had to be every day. That was probably the thing that was hardest for me to let go of. And it's not that I let go of it and I skip days of communicating with God. That's not necessarily what it means.
Right. Yeah.
What it means is just that some days I sit down and spend a long time with him, you know, like usually on the weekends right now or over the summer, whenever I wasn't working, you mm-hmm. know, mm-hmm. it's a different thing. But when I'm in the throes of the horrid schedule, getting up at 5 o'clock to get my son to cross country, mm-hmm. working till whatever at late, you know, and not having any of those extra time.
Right.
Those days I don't always sit down with my Bible and do the things. And so for me and my mind and how it works, instead of having that be the only way of spending time with the Lord, it's like I almost have maybe at any given moment about 4 or 5 different mm-hmm. things mm-hmm. that I'm doing. And so I don't have a routine. I have a rhythm.
Yeah.
And so sometimes I have the bam, 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 like a short notes that go one to another and like almost like a text message to God, you know, little breaths, you're breathing in and out, you're talking to him in your heart and your spirit. And then other times I have the long, slow, steady. Mm-hmm. And it depends on my schedule. It mm-hmm. depends on what I need in the moment. It depends on what God is calling me to.
Absolutely.
And it is much more, it does leave room for the Holy Spirit, like you were saying earlier, because I'm able to respond.
Yes.
And I don't feel, it's like, oh, God, you want to go on a walk today? Okay, let's do that.
Right.
Oh, you want a second cup of coffee? Okay, I can do that one really easily.
Yeah.
But, you know, okay, we just want to talk in the car on the way to school. Okay, we can do that instead.
Or I need to be working on memorizing scripture.
Yes,
and so I'm going to do that. I'm going to record myself and play it back and listen to it over and over again to memorize and hide God's word in my heart. Or even I've had where it's, you need to call this person.
Yeah,
you need to set this aside and you need to make this phone call.
Yeah, it's almost like stop spending time here where you're comfortable. Get up off your end and go do something about it.
I need you to be my hands and feet right now and go do this thing.
Yep.
And it is that releasing yourself of the guilt of I want, my desire is to have a relationship with the Lord so that when he says something to me, I say yes.
Right.
And I don't look at the Lord and go, well, can you, I got to finish reading this.
Yeah.
Or, you know?
Yeah. Oh, well, I won't be able to mark off my thing.
That
you know,
it's that
like,
I finished.
I'll lose my streak, God.
Yeah.
How many of y'all have just read the Bible? Okay, can I tell you a funny story?
Yeah.
I will not reveal this person. She will know or if, okay. I know of a person who had to go out of town without her phone. Okay.
Oh.
Yeah. And so maybe she's under 18. But anyway.
Okay, so got it. That makes more sense.
She, she asked her mom to open up her Bible app every day that she was gone.
So she didn't want to lose her streak.
She didn't lose her streak.
Hey, if it was the Bible app and not like some other app, that's decent.
And it just made me laugh. Yeah. I was like, I so understand. I get that.
Yes.
You know, it's like, and then I look at mine and I'm like, you've missed 78 days, you know, and I'm like, okay.
But
because I know I haven't actually missed 78 days just for that. And so
it's also very different personalities if people are like, oh no. And I think that's the other thing is for Emily and I to sit here and be saying, you need to have that flexibility.
Mm-hmm.
Allow yourself to go where the Holy Spirit's telling you. That shouldn't make somebody else. It's like, no, I get up at 6:30 every morning and I'm sitting in this chair by 6:45 and I spend 30 minutes with the Lord and I read from here and I fill this out and I pray and I do this and then I go up. You don't need to feel guilty if you do it that way too.
That's amazing.
You know, I mean, that's the whole point of this.
It's
however you spend time with the Lord, just make sure it's you spending time with the Lord and not you doing a thing that the world has told you you're supposed to do.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. I think we've overcomplicated it.
Yes.
And the simplicity is God loves us.
Yep.
He gave us his word because he wants to talk to us. He gave us prayer because he wants to hear from us.
Mm-hmm.
He invites us. He is always invitational and he is always relational. And if we can keep that in our mind, he is not like a jealous, you know, mother-in-law who is saying, oh, well, you're going home too early.
That's
spend more time with me. It was only 17 hours. I wanted 18. You know, he's not like
that. Not that your mother-in-law does that.
No. I was actually thinking of somebody who I'm so glad is not my mother-in-law. No, my mother-in-law's amazing. for that.
I was like, let's clarify. We like your mother-in-law. She's very kind.
She is. And she would never do that.
Right.
You know?
Exactly.
And I kind of flip it, like, even to my parents. There was one year that we had to not go because we flip every year for Thanksgiving. There was one year mm-hmm. where we couldn't go with them to Thanksgiving because Jason's brother had passed away. Right. And it was, like, really before that. And we needed to be with his family. Mm-hmm. And so I told them, I was like, hey, can we skip it this year? And I was like, not that we're going to come next year. Like, they're going to get 3 years.
Right.
And then, you know, like, is that okay? Yeah. And they were like, absolutely.
Absolutely.
And that is the kind of thing that mm-hmm. I feel like God does. He yeah. is not the one who's checking off, you know, to see, are you, you know,
yeah.
oh, well, you didn't do it right. You didn't do it this way. Mm-hmm. No, not everything mm-hmm. is even. He knows that things, they go up and down and up and down.
Yep.
And the key is, are we growing together?
Yes. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the thing, because this also isn't us saying, oh, you don't have to spend time in God's mm-mm. word. You can just hang out on Instagram for that 45 minutes. That 45 minutes instead of spending time in God's mm-hmm. word. Like, we want you to have a relationship with the Lord so that the Holy Spirit does maybe do, not guilt, mm-hmm. but a little bit of self-check.
Convicting
of,
yes.
hey, you're not mm-hmm. putting any effort in.
Right.
You're blaming everything on how busy you are. And yet, mm-hmm. you can spend the whole evening doing whatever and the morning's doing whatever. And then you say, well, I'm so busy.
Yeah. And see,
there's a huge, that is important for us to also realize.
Mm-hmm. And there's a difference between guilt and conviction.
Absolutely.
And that is one of the things that I kind of had to pray through and learn mm-hmm. because sometimes they can feel the same, I think, mm-hmm. because they feel
right.
you feel uncomfortable. You feel
yeah.
like something is wrong mm-hmm. and off, and it is.
Yes.
But the difference is that guilt is from Satan. Conviction is from the Holy Spirit. And so whenever Satan gives guilt on you, what he's saying is that no matter what you do, it's not going to be enough.
That's right.
You can't
you're
fix it.
You're never going to match
it's
it.
It's all or nothing. Yep. So it might as well be nothing and you're done. And it always leads to more being separate from
yes,
God.
More separation.
But whenever the Holy Spirit convicts you, it's always, hey, you know what? This is wrong in your life, and let's fix it together.
Yeah.
And it's for the purpose of let's take some baby steps
yep.
to fix this.
And it's drawing
and
you
it's
back
drawing
in.
You closer mm-hmm. to the Lord instead of farther
yeah.
apart. So that's just something, if you're feeling like you're not quite sure if your time with the Lord is where it needs to be or not, then weigh it against that. Mm-hmm. Okay, is it that I am being pulling farther and farther away
right.
what I'm doing, or is it that life has gotten busy and I need help to just kind of get back on track,
right.
get to a better rhythm that mm-hmm. can work for where I am in this stage of life?
Right.
Mm-hmm. And if you need help, there are so many people who
absolutely.
Can walk through that
yes.
with you and give you those practical steps. And it doesn't have to be, okay, start precepts tomorrow.
Right. True.
You know, it can
yes.
be, it can be simple.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And that's the cool thing about having a church that has many generations
mm-hmm.
is we do, there's so many people we can talk to.
Right.
And you might say, well, I don't know anybody. Call me.
Yeah.
I can say, hey, this is the person you need to go hang out with. Hey,
mm-hmm.
this person worked at NASA forever, had
mm-hmm.
kids, and loves the Lord.
Right.
And you're in that situation of trying to balance all those things.
Mm-hmm.
Let you sit down with this person.
Yeah.
So you might not know somebody. You might ask them. But if you don't, please reach out to me. I
mm-hmm.
love putting people together. That's really cool.
And don't just ask one person. Ask a
lot. Yeah.
Because they might have a different learning style of you
absolutely.
Or a different personality or a different schedule. You know, like, do a panoramic view. Start talking to a lot of people. And you're going to find that maybe out of the 10 women you talk to,
mm-hmm.
three of the things are really great.
Yeah.
And that's enough.
Yep.
You know,
absolutely.
That's where you could start.
And then y'all just start trying stuff.
Yeah.
Just do. I mean, the big thing is spend time with the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Every single day, spend some time with the Lord. Have that constant, that, you know, where it says pray without ceasing.
Mm-hmm.
And you people go, how in the world do you do that?
Mm-hmm.
Just that constant communication and tethering
right.
to the Lord with all the things you're doing and how you're walking
mm-hmm.
and a quiet time with him. It's a huge part of that.
Mm-hmm.
Super
yeah.
beneficial. And you just have to figure out what it looks like.
Mm-hmm.
And if you are someone that struggles with, I grew up in the church
mm-hmm.
or even I'm new to the church, I'm just trying to do all the things that people keep telling me to do.
Yeah.
And you're feeling guilty about what your quiet time looks like. This is what you need. Guilt-free quiet times. Emily Ryan and y'all. I didn't even really introduce y'all to Emily because she's my friend. So I'm like, let's go. But you
I didn't even think about that.
I know. I did a little. But you've been at Sagemont forever.
Since I was like six or seven.
So very long. Mm-hmm. You have a lot of family running around here.
Yeah.
You are married to the wonderful Jason Ryan that is the one always behind the camera. We were glad. We were like, he is going to say something to us, but he didn't.
He's been very well behaved.
He has
Thank
been
you.
Very well. We're very thankful, Jason. But she, y'all, she is a Sagemont gal.
Right.
So if you're like, this is super important to me, call her.
Yeah.
Reach out to her. Look, go to, what are your websites? Because you have writer websites.
Yeah.
You're fancy.
Yeah. Don't judge it too closely.
Because this is like a publisher,
right?
Like real deal. Not that the other ones weren't, but you know what I mean? Like it's a whole process you've been through.
Exactly. The publisher that did it, if you're familiar with Our Daily Bread Ministries, they put out the little, you know, quarterlies and devotions and all that kind of stuff. And so they're the ones that publish it. They have an arm of their ministry called God Hears Her. And it has podcasts and it has some devotionals and all that. And this is like their first like non-devotional book that they're putting out through that ministry. And so they're just amazing. Oh, yeah. But my website. So also EmilyEryan.com. And I'm also on Instagram and I'm on Facebook and you can usually find me. I don't post a ton. I try because I'm supposed to
she
be better
you,
at
a lot
that.
Of her stuff is funny. If you follow her, you probably get a laugh.
Yeah. I try to be real.
It's
so
funny.
Sometimes
a lot of them
I'm
are really
like,
good. So good. But y'all, really, truly, when does it come out?
October 1st.
October 1st.
So here's
Amazon.
Amazon, all the places.
Okay. I'm like, what other places?
I don't even
is
know
there?
When this no, is coming kidding. Out. Do you know?
I don't know.
Okay. So if it comes, like, if
it might
y'all
be
are
before.
Watching that, if it's before, I have some pre-order bonuses.
Oh.
Like if you just put your, say, hey, I bought it and put whatever on there, then you can get some, like some coloring sheets that are really
fun.
Cute or like a recipe or like a Devo Bingo.
Oh, that's fun.
Which it has like a lot of like 25 different just really quick ideas that you can just start having fun in your time with God.
I love that. So you can go pre-order it and then it'll come to you and then take time to read it. It's a quick little, it's a good read and it'll encourage you.
Yeah, it is fast.
And then let Emily know.
Yeah.
She loves to hear back from people that read her book. So
for sure.
Thanks for hanging out.
Thank you for having me.
I really am. Listen, I'm praying that this book does exactly what your heart desires for it to do. And for people to spend time with the Lord.
And to have fun doing
have
it.
Have fun
To enjoy
doing it.
The salvation that we have.
Amen. Mm-hmm. I love that. That's our prayer. And y'all, really, truly, when you read it, let Emily know.
Yeah.
So thanks for hanging out.
Thank you
it's
for having
It's always fun.
Me.
I love hanging out with you. Y'all, enjoy the rest of your day or evening, and we will see you next time on Table Talk.
Bye-bye.